The new gender columnist for The Washington Post says the Kavanaugh hearings show we are in a desperately important time to be asking questions about what it means to be a woman and a man. Monica Hesse grew up in Bloomington Normal and is back to promote her historical fiction novel and to receive a Distinguished Alumni Award from University High School. More on the book in a moment, but Hesse says she feels the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings are not really about testimony over what happened 35 years ago.
I feel like I am watching a generation of women and men finally wrestle with and reconcile with the different versions of stories that they've been telling. My inbox is overflowing with women talking about things that they now see as assault, but that for decades they thought, well, that was just my job. It was my job to push him off. It was his job to try to get into my pants, and it was my job to push him off. And now they're really mad. Like, why should it have been my job all that time? And I'm also hearing from a lot of men saying, yeah, I did stuff like that. And it seemed fine at the time. A lot of my friends did it, but maybe it wasn't. So I feel like this moment is really about the stories that we've been telling about ourselves for a really long time and how we're going to figure out how to tell different stories.
Is it a generational marker? Are today's young adults in any way different, or are they still telling that same role-based story?
I think that today's generation is different. I think that there is a shift. I think that when the Me Too movement first started, you saw a lot of instances where it was daughters educating their mothers instead of the other way around, where it was daughters saying, Mom, that thing that happened to you, that's not okay. It's all right to be angry about it. So I do think that we're seeing a shift. I think that young men in the workforce today would never dream of doing things that we're hearing Charlie Rose do, for example, or older men in their 70s or beyond. I think that the question of how much we've changed will depend on how open we allow ourselves to be to the idea that we need to change. As long as we cling to the idea that boys will be boys, this is normal, then we'll just keep repeating patterns. We really, in a lot of ways, need to open old wounds.
But are the patterns repetitive in some sub-societal sectors? For instance, my son is in the musician/arts subculture,
yeah,
and he's appalled.
Sure.
But he says he knows people in the jock subculture, and they have exhibited some of the same kinds of behavior that are alleged to have taken place here. Is anything different, really?
I do think that we see that there are certain sectors that feel like petri dishes that keep breeding this again and again. Certainly, I think you have a lot of parents looking at elite prep schools now and wondering about the underbelly of those. I might be a cockeyed optimist, but I really do think that there are, with each younger generation, we're seeing an increasing number of young men like your son and young women like my younger sisters who are growing up with different role models, who are open to having different kinds of discussions. And like I said, I think change will happen so slowly, I'm not even sure it will come in my lifetime. But I do think that we're finally ripping off a Band-Aid that we've needed to rip off for a long time.
How will you continue to ask these questions after the Kavanaugh hearings are done and the vote in committee and on the floor are taken?
It's funny because I started this job 3 months ago, and even though it feels like we've been living in the Kavanaugh testimony era for our entire lives, Dr. Blasey Ford only came forward with her allegations a week and a half ago. So there was, I haven't yet been in short supply of things to write about. And I don't think that the topics will always be harassment and assault. I think that the topics will often be how we behave around each other. What are new workplace norms? What are new dating norms? What does a woman like Ivanka Trump mean in the in the aspect of what we consider female power. Is she a powerful woman? How does she compare to someone like Kamala Harris as a powerful woman? I think that there are, I think it's a pretty rich topic with not a lot of chance of running out soon.
What does the pressure on these two young women do to the last couple years of their childhood and how it shapes them as they become young adults?
I think that you see both characters making decisions that they would find or would have found unthinkable before they came to the camp, because they're being forced to make decisions beyond their years using what little information they have and the mistakes they make, which under normal circumstances would just be teenage mistakes that could be fixed with a little time, suddenly have ramifications for their entire lives.
Like what?
For example, one of the characters, Haruko, spends a lot of the book worrying about her older brother, Ken, who is a soldier in the Japanese-American unit of the Army, the 442nd Regiment, which was a real division. She knows something is wrong with him. He's sending letters that are increasingly strange and increasingly redacted, and she knows he's hiding something. I think in a normal time, she could go to her parents with these fears, but she knows how much pressure they are under, and so instead she feels that she has to be the one to fix it. She has to be the one to solve it.
Monica Hesse will read from her work, The War Outside, at Barnes & Noble in Bloomington tomorrow at 2 p.m. She's a newly named distinguished alum of University High School in Normal, a former feature writer for The Washington Post, and now the gender columnist for The Post.